Violet, Cinderella story, out of nowhere, a former greenskeeper now, about to become the Masters champion.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Hey, where are you going with those clubs, punk?
Mr. Gilmore, I'm your caddy.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. No, let me carry these, all right? They're my grandfather's.
Welcome back to the sixth episode of Who's Your Caddy? I'm one of your hosts, Matt Ostick. Alongside me is Jack Cummings and Mac Farley. Boys, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Matty. I just got done mucking some bone-in wings from Cowboy Slims. It's a funny story, actually. The boneless wings were all sold out, so I had to muscle down and get the bone in.
Yeah, really? it looked like a mess.
Yeah, but I'm back. I'm good.
Matty Ice, good to have you back this week.
Yeah, I was gone last week. I think the boys recorded, Sunday night? I was flying out Monday morning. Had to be to the airport by, 3:30, and I was pretty sick to begin with. So, fortunately, I had to miss out on a good interview with Lincoln Johnson. It was a good one to listen to and edit, so I had a pleasure doing that. How was the interview? Was it fun?
It was a good time.
Yeah.
Good
player.
Great player, even better guy. Great to have him on the pod. We have a couple clips from him. Actually coming up in a course interview. Matt, what do we have coming up on this podcast?
Yeah, so today we'll be talking a little bit about what happened last week at the WGC Mexico at Golf Club de Chapultepec.
Is that fun week. Fun week at Chapultepec.
Fun golf course. Fun to watch. Reminded me and Mac both a little bit of Alexandria Golf Club. I don't know about you, Cummings.
Yeah, everything but the elevation. I mean, I don't crank a 9-iron 190 up in Alexandria, Minnesota, but...
Yeah, no, so that was a fun week to watch. We'll also be talking, we'll be taking some viewer questions or listener questions.
A lot of DMs, a lot of submissions. We appreciate all that. We sifted through most of them. We couldn't quite get to all of them, but we'll be touching on some of the good questions, getting in depth on a few.
Yeah, no, I really like those. We had, I think it was 30-some listener questions. We'll take four of those questions and hopefully get even more next week. So we're going to start doing that more often. Another thing that we did, Mac, there was plenty of headlines that Mac ventured out on, so we'll be talking about those headlines, some pretty good ones too. Maybe it was Ryder Cup, there were a couple other things that he discovered too, Bryson DeChambeau, tormenting the greens at WGC. We'll also be talking about this week at the Honda Classic. Big tournament, PGA National, right? Is that
PGA National?
Yep, down in Miami, Florida.
And last but not least, obviously we have the Caddy Shack, but we did right after recorded a couple days after, we had Link and Jack fly down to Arizona for another course review. We'll get into that.
Yeah, big week ahead. This week they played at Golf Club de Chapultepec down in Mexico City. Elevation 7,800 feet. In comparison, Denver was 5,280. So you're crushing the ball at about, I would say, a 15% rate. Guys just crushing drives, crushing 9-irons. I think Tiger had a wedge from 195, and it one hopped the green. So pretty crazy week. DJ came out on top. He shot 21 under, followed by Rory at 16 under. And then the rest of the field, I think third was 11 under. So basically lapped the field. Really good week for DJ. We actually picked against him, ironically. Did not see this coming, even though he won in 2017. So I thought it was a really good week by DJ. Very entertaining to watch. He led the field in putting. Of course, he hit the ball well, and it was really, really good play by DJ.
Yeah, Matt, and I can't stress enough how big of a week this is for Mexico. Mexico City, 20 million people. This event itself has grown the game almost more than anything in that country. Especially, when I heard they were playing in Mexico again this week, I went over to my local authentic Mexican restaurant, Teresa's, sat down, had a margarita, had some chips and salsa. I saw Rory, JT, they were loving the kids out there. First time Tiger's ever been to Mexico. Huge deal. It was a fun week.
Yeah, no, for sure. I thought the vibe was honestly a lot like a soccer game, or as they call it, a football game. Rowdy fans, like Mac said, just a big event for the country of Mexico as well as the city of Mexico City. I think Mexico City has 21 million people, so double the size of a town of New York City. So crazy week. Like I said, very, very fun to watch. Like I said, coming in second was Rory, 16 under par. Rory had a tough start to the bat or front nine on Sunday. I believe he was one over through 10 holes, and then he turned it on. So really, DJ, you know, it was a walk-in by hole six. I think he was up by 7 or 8 shots.
Which is tough viewership coming in.
It is.
The final round. But I will say I liked Rory coming into this week. He's been hot.
He has been hot.
He's been hot.
Putted decent last week. Of course, he hit the ball well. He just took driver everywhere. I'm still not sold on Rory, even though he did finish 16 under at second. But
Matt, I understand where you're coming from.
The pressure gets to him.
But if DJ's not in the field, Rory beats everyone by 5 strokes.
That's a good point.
DJ beats third by 10. I think it's more of the story of DJ winning this tournament than it is Rory losing it, even though he did look shaky. A lot of people talking about the ruling. DJ got the drop. He had his foot in the cart path. Rory did not. I kind of agree with this ruling because if you watch it closely, Rory is pretending to hit this shot right-handed into an opposite fairway. He actually wouldn't have played that shot that way unless, you know, the only reason he was doing that was to try to get a ruling. So he did look a little shaky on the front, finished with, I think, 5 birdies on the back to shoot 4 under par, final round. Kind of hard to say he choked there.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that he choked, but he just didn't play well. And I also don't think that you could say he would have won by 5. Like, the pressure would have been completely different. He was at 11 under par on Sunday going into the back nine, I believe. And DJ, like I said, was around 18 under par at the same point. So there was really no pressure on him other than, you know, maybe a pressure of a second place finish. So I don't know how Rory would have reacted if, say, DJ wasn't in the field and he would have been tied for the lead at 11 under par. But,
you know, I've been tracking Rory for a couple of years, boys. And, you know, I haven't been that optimistic with him since, I don't know, 2014. But, you know, he's always been a ball striker. His swing's phenomenal. He's unbelievable off the tee. But the one thing the last couple years I've noticed from him was his short game, and in particular his putting. And one thing I've seen out of him this season, the flat stick's starting to go his way. So, you know, I'm not a huge Rory fan, but, I mean, I'm feeling good about him coming into 2019.
Yeah, I mean, he's had some very good finishes this year.
4 top 5 finishes to start.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. But at the same time, like, dude, you got to win. He only has 12 wins in his PGA Tour career, 4 majors. DJ just hit the 20 mark. So
20 wins.
20 wins by DJ.
I know he's won a lot, but I was almost shocked when I saw that right away. I had no clue he was already that high.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny because DJ has won only one event that is not a WGC or a playoff event and is like past, I think, 12 or 13 wins. So that's kind of crazy to think about. And then, but he also hasn't won, he's only won one major, and that was Oakmont.
Yeah, Matt, you know what? I think it could be he has a little bit of that Tiger in him where, you know, the no-cut event helps him, you know, gain confidence. He knows he has a lot of time to string together a bunch of birdies, which he always does. Speaking of that, good friend of the pod, Justin Thomas, 9 under, ties his own course record from last year.
How about that?
Sunday, what he said was, you know, he's like, I might as well just hit driver on every hole. And you know what? He goes out, shoots 9 under par. Speaking of that, Tiger Woods, a lot to talk about this week. Very conservative off the tee.
Yeah, I think he averaged over 200 yards in on every or on his approach shots, which and is crazy to think.
Matt, you mentioned this earlier. You know, these guys down there at that altitude, they can hit 9 iron 200 yards. I actually happen to strongly disagree with Brandon Chamblee on this take. I don't care what club you're hitting. Let's say you can hit a 9 iron 400 yards. That is much more difficult than hitting a 9 iron 150 yards. Just because you are that far out, there's way more room for dispersion. And I understand that you can hit, you know, shorter clubs straighter. But at those distances, I think that's just a more difficult shot.
No, I do agree with what your take is. Normally, I do agree with Brandel, but I agree with your take on that completely. It's so much more room for error.
Like, I don't know if I'm with that, boys. Off a tee, if I am in, let's say, Scottsdale, Arizona, where I hit a 9 iron about 15 to 10 yards farther than I do when it's, you know, humid Minnesota summer, I don't think my dispersion is that much different just because I hit it that much farther. But that's my take. I mean, I'm just not with that. I think I'm siding.
So let me ask you this, Jack. How far do you get your 9-iron in Minnesota?
I don't want to get embarrassed out here, boys, but probably about buck 55-ish.
Okay. So let's say you hit that 200 in Arizona, just for, you know,
okay,
sure, for reference.
Right, so 170 in Arizona.
If I throw you at 155 yards out, middle of the fairway, let's say, you know, whatever pin it is,
right,
you would rather take that shot in Arizona than Minnesota from 200 yards?
I don't think he's saying he'd rather take it. I just don't think it's that much different.
For me, it's a 9-iron.
Okay.
I mean, trajectory-wise, I think it's going to go the same. All it depends on is how I'm hitting it that day. And I'll tell you what, I can hit it straight if I'm hitting it straight, and crooked if I'm hitting it crooked. I don't think the elevation matters that much for me.
But to some extent, that 45 yards has to do a little something to
that. Well, I think in terms of air density and wind, there's more obstacles coming at you. Sure, sure. But I think in terms of the pass I'm going to take on it, I think it's about the same.
Okay. Another topic this week was Tiger Woods Friday. Had a shot from about 130 yards. He took a 9-iron at altitude, so you're looking at about 115 yards, you know, with the conversion. That he had to hit it out of a bunker, over a tree, around a tree, and get the spin from the left side of the green to he almost spun it off the right side of the green. Top three best bunker shots of Tiger Woods' career, I would say.
Yeah, Matt, they were comparing this to his 2000 RBC Canadian Open. Everyone has seen it. Final round. He's in the, you know, right fairway bunker, over the water, pins back right, flushes one right over the stick.
5-iron, 200-some yards out.
I don't think that the pressure was there at this time in the tournament, but still a spectacular shot. And to your point earlier, Jack, you know, it is much more difficult to curve the ball at altitude, right, because the spin – there's not as much air density to grab that spin and to make it move like it did.
That makes sense, yeah.
It was for sure a sick shot. I watched it. I watched it live, and I was just like, that was unbelievable. Just the spin. It was almost like he was playing Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2003.
That's exactly what I thought.
And he was spinning it to the right.
Crushing air. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He played on PS2, crushing X, and spun it straight to the right.
Right.
It was nuts. I loved it. Go check it out. We'll post it on our Instagram page. Crazy, crazy shot. I loved it.
I'll say one thing on that. If you watch the slow-mo, his back is just moving a bunch, right? His arms are coming everywhere. And I just think that makes it almost evident that he's back, he's healthy, his back feels fine if he can pull up that kind of flexibility.
Yeah.
But that's my take.
Oh, there's no way he's hurt now. I mean, he's 100%, maybe 95%.
Absolutely. And we had a lot of tweets, DMs, shares on this specific, you know, subject. I want to give a shout out to viewer Mason Kulix. He sent us a question on this. The question was, how much longer do you think Tiger will be able to compete with these younger guys winning these tournaments around 20 under par week in, week out?
This is a...
with this strategy, can he do that?
I love this question, Mason. When we were looking at the questions, I pointed this one out right away. This is a great question because I've thought about this for actually years. I just completely disagree with Tiger's strategy because with how everyone's hitting the ball nowadays, you know, you got DJ, you got JT. JT even said it. He's like, I might as well just rip driver everywhere, like this week, and then he went out and shot 62. So with the amount of guys that can rip driver everywhere, one of them's at least going to get hot, whether it's DJ, maybe JT, Ricky. And Ricky doesn't crush the ball, but he still hits it pretty deep. I think that Tiger needs to change his strategy. Not saying that he necessarily has to rip driver every single place, but if it's a 500-yard par 4, you know, don't hit 3-iron off the tee. Like, stingers for days, don't get me wrong. But, like, you got to hit at least a 3-wood there and have, I mean, at altitude, it'd be, you know, 180 yards in. But that's an 8-iron compared to a 6-iron in at altitude. Where Rory, on the same hole, had wedge in. And Rory's wedges aren't great. Right. But he's going to hit it closer
than most 6-iron.
He's going to hit it. Yeah, exactly. A good 6-iron would be a bad wedge.
Right. No, so I hear you on that, but – The one thing, just on that point quick before I get into Mason's question, I think the one biggest difference between old Tiger and what I'll call it revised Tiger is he has been pretty, I'm not going to say great, but he's been solid off the tee box the last, you know, since his recovery. Back in the day, that guy wasn't hitting fairways to save his life.
True.
So he should, I think, take out more drivers as well. But to Mason's question, I think he totally can compete, and I'll give you an example. If you're going to lay out the four majors, which he's obviously the most interested in winning, what is the one major where they go the deepest? Consistently.
PGA?
PGA, I mean, it depends, right? On PGA. We're going to go with PGA.
Yep.
Tied, for, tied for second last year, shot 14 under at Bellerive. I think he totally compete.
Yep.
Can compete in big tournaments when they are going deep, because let's be honest, 14 under at a major tournament is pretty deep.
It is deep. No, I do agree with that. But, like, the Masters, I mean, he's going to have to at least shoot.
Yeah.
I'd say 14 under to win.
You know Spieth's going to shoot 15.
Yeah.
So,
but
I don't know.
I think he can compete. Mac, Mason's question, you got an answer?
Yeah, and I think the more difficult the course, the more this, you know, Tiger's current strategy plays out. When you, I mean, essentially Club de Chapultepec is the local muni on the PGA Tour, and you're going to get guys like Rory, guys like DJ, that if they're hitting their driver well, even JT, it's going to be driver wedge every single hole. And with the amount of guys that can do that, we're looking at Brooks Koepka. You throw in names like Cameron Champ. One of those 10, call it 20 players, is going to hit fairways, and they're going to have 60 degrees in, and they're going to make a couple putts to shoot 5 under par every round and shoot 20 under par.
So you're saying his distance is what is making? I mean, he probably only hits it 15 yards less than Cameron Champ off the tee?
If he hits driver. This week, Tiger Woods, 72-player field, I believe ranked 62 in strokes gained off the tee. And he hit, I think he was top 10 in fairways hit.
Yeah, so he just did not have an advantage at all, even though he was hitting fairways. I will say this as well. God, I actually love this question because I've argued this for years. But I will say that Tiger, even though he was, what, 62nd or so strokes gained, like, say he putted well this week, he still would have been right around 13 or 14 under par, which would have left him at, you know, third. But that would have probably been the max that he would have been able to, like, get out of the out of all four rounds.
So this week, Poana Greens, Matt talking about the, you know, a lot of controversy on the greens. We saw Bryson hitting the practice green. He was fed up with it. A lot of other, you know, tour pros.
Are we calling that one a bug out, by the way?
Might have been a little bit of a bug out.
Somewhat of a bug out.
I personally don't mind it. I mean, I'm not a Bryson guy. What'd you think, Zach?
I don't like it. I hate it. I have some respect for the course. One of the most monumental men in my life was JV coach at Holy Family. I think he came in circa 13 when I was at Holy Family. His name was John Hamry, and he gave me the best advice heading into my collegiate career, heading into my senior season at Holy Family. He said, "I don't care how you play. Leave the course better than you found it." And Bryson clearly wasn't doing that.
Maybe Bryson was just tapping on a spike mark.
I think it was a bug.
Oh, okay. I'm not a big Bryson guy, but it could have been a spike mark. You never know.
All right.
Yeah, well, all right. Sky Sports caught it. Rich Beam, he was there. They saw it. Back to where I was going with that was Poana Greens, a lot of the pros in the locker rooms, we were hearing murmurs behind the scenes that they were upset with the quality of the greens. Could just be the Poana. Tiger putted, had a four-putt, three-putt, first time he's ever done that in a row on tour. Matt, does that get you worried about Pebble Beach? Jack, what do you think?
I think that, you know, the course is the same for everyone. DJ did not have a problem with it at all. It, like, I don't even think it bugged Tiger that much that they were Poana. I think Tiger just putted poorly. He'll be ready to go at Pebble.
Are you worried about his age and the putter? The putter tends to decline and...
Whoa. I think he goes long putter before he goes claw. I think he goes to a wedge before he goes paw.
We know he's not going to do either of those, boys. He's going to show up to Pebble with the experience that he has. He knows he can putt on him, and he's going to be just fine.
Here's a bold take. Is Tiger, so I was reading Tiger's book. I'll mention this all the time, the book about Tiger. And it did mention that when Tiger had all of his back problems, he struggled with the putter because he was on so many painkillers. Because it takes the feel away. Is Tiger on painkillers?
You know, major, come majors, he is getting off those painkillers.
Okay.
I don't think he's on PKs right now.
Do you know that?
Or is he?
I mean, do you know that he is? Exactly.
We don't know. I mean, maybe after the massage, maybe after the massage thing that he hasn't been able to go to the massage therapist.
He's going to have to had to take
painkillers. Hey, guys, those are allegedly rumors. That's not our podcast.
Yeah. So I'm just, you know, making theories here. You never know. I mean, something will come out like that, guaranteed.
Absolutely. But overall, fun week at Club de Chapultepec. Every year I get excited about this event.
I hope they keep going back. Like, I know they have a sponsorship agreement and whatnot, but
it means a lot to the city of Mexico. Yeah, and Mexico,
we're growing the game, guys. And I'd, if it wasn't Mexico City, I'd try and go play down there in a heartbeat. So next up, we have some listener questions. We already did do one. Thanks to Mason Kulix, the Tiger question. I thought that was a great question. Next up, we have, like I said, Jack Johnson. He is the cousin of the interviewee, Lincoln Johnson, last week. Jack, actually, a little side bit on him. He played in the drive, chip, and putt contest at the Masters a couple years back.
Yep.
So I actually did recognize the name.
Chaska native.
Chaska native. That's where Jack Cummings is from here.
Yep.
So, anyways, his question was, who is your favorite caddy on tour and why?
Well, I'll pop right into it, boys. I don't think anyone in the world's going to have this guy, but I got Jordan Guilford. He's Bo Hostler's caddy. Hostler. Bo Hostler, friend of the pod. Obviously played at Texas. Young phenom. Little side bit on Jordan. Jordan Guilford, Bo Hostler is one of his good buddies. This guy's got flow. He's young. He likes to party.
Wears a bucket hat.
He rocks the bucket, which is tight. Good friend of Bo's, which I like that dynamic. And I just like him a lot. I mean, he plays in AM tournaments, so he's got game himself. He went to San Clemente High School in California, graduated in 2009, went to Saddleback and Lane Community College.
Sick.
Great guy. And I've appreciated what he has to offer to Bo's game and to the tour itself. So Jordan Guilford's my favorite caddy on tour.
He's pretty young, too, I think.
Yeah, right? I think he might even be younger than... No, he's not younger than Bo, but I think he was a mentor of Bo Hostler, and they built the relationship off that.
He probably brings a little charisma to the caddy shack. You know, older caddies out there that are kind of on their way out probably love hearing the stories that he brings out when he goes out to the clubs and whatnot.
Jack, I want to say I was going to go back and forth. I've been going back and forth with this all day.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since we saw the DM. My first initial impression was Otto from Happy Gilmore.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
He got his first gig. He was cleaning car windshields. Happy Gilmore picked him up.
Oh, that's the guy. I thought it's not the hands off the clubs. Those are antiques guy.
No. Oh, okay. You've heard that in the intro.
Yep.
Otto, known for having one shoe on, but I'm going to have to go with Jim Bones Mackay. Pretty straight down the middle pick here. Obviously, caddied for Phil Mickelson for 25 years, 5 major championships, very good friends with David Faraday, and really gives the viewers an inside look from the booth. A lot of respect for what that guy's doing, and also a scratch golfer himself.
Sweet. I'm going to have to go with a guy by the name of Brennan Little. Brennan actually is Gary Woodland's caddy. I was fortunate enough to talk with Brennan for about an hour last year at the Memorial. Great guy, just a true gamer. Just mine is thinking about golf 24/7. Sweet guy. He got a start on tour with Mike Weir. Won the Masters with him. Brennan's a Canadian, so he loves the game of hockey. You'll always see on his visor. Also, you'll see a Toronto Blue Jays logo. So he's just Toronto all around. Like I said, loves hockey. Hopefully, we'll have him on the pod at some point. He'd be more than down to do that.
We're working with this team.
We're working with his team. Maybe get Gary on the side now that he's a well-known name. But yeah, no, Brennan's a sweet dude, and I love Brennan. So
Matt,
you'll see him. He's a gamer.
You mentioned gamer. Who do you think of when you use the word gamer? A lot of people have different definitions. What's the definition of gamer?
Gamer to me is just in the zone.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. So. You know, he's out grinding, he's all over cameras, he's ready to go.
Kind of like a Zach Johnson, full shades.
No, not so fast, my friend. No.
Rewind on that one.
You don't think Zach Johnson's a gamer?
No.
Really?
No. Your classic gamer is a guy with an average swing, gets it done in the wind. I know ZJ obviously has. But ZJ, I'm not going to classify him as a gamer because he hits.
He's like a fake gamer.
He's a fake gamer. He's got the shades on, which makes it play into a gamer. But no, I don't appreciate his action at all. I think to me, a gamer would be a Graham McDowell kind of player.
Yes,
a little loopy kind of swing, hits a bullet. It's ugly, but he gets it done.
Is Jim Furyk a gamer?
No. Potty Harrington, gamer. Three major champions.
He's got the vision of just a gamer.
Yeah,
like okay. It's hard to explain, but yeah. So that's my caddy is Brennan Little, out of Canada. Gary Woodland's caddy. So keep an eye out for him on tour. We got another question, Jack. This one doesn't really portray to you. It's from Andy Carroll. Andy plays hockey down at Mankato State. He's having a good year, good freshman year. Also a very good golfer. Scratch handicap. Also want to give out a shout out to him and his boys. They're called the Bag Rats. So they have an Instagram page, so go follow them. We're good friends with them.
First sponsors of the podcast.
First sponsor of the pod. They made a little donation to us, so got to thank them for that. Andy Carroll's question was, favorite memory at Northfield Golf Club? And this is Mac and I's home golf course. My favorite memory is probably me and Mac play every year in this two-man classic. First day is a scramble. Second day is a best ball. A couple years back, me and Mac shot, I believe it was 60 on the first day in the scramble. Just made birdies left and right. Mac was crushing the ball. I was, hitting some good putts. Rolling putts. So every year we like to play in that, and I always have fun playing in that. Mac, what's your favorite memory?
Yeah, my favorite memory was actually before I was a member of the club. Shout out to listener Joey Smits. I'll keep this as short as I possibly can. But hole 16 at Northfield Golf Club is a par 5. It doglegs around another hole, and off the tee
sharp
box,
dogleg.
Sharp dogleg. This course has been around for 100 years. On the right side of the hole is tree-lined pine trees. You cannot even see through anything. So everyone, plays a three-shot hole. We're in one of the last groups of the club championship. Joey Smits takes out driver, and he decides, there happened to be a little bit of a tough growing season this year, and one of the pine trees is a little bit dead. So Joey Smits tees it up on the far right side of the tee box. Keep in mind it's a dogleg right. And he tees up the driver as high as he can, and he smokes it straight through this pine tree over the heads of the people on 18T. Keep in mind there are women involved, they're fans, they're spectators. He hits it up. Hits it in the fairway, makes birdie going, obviously hitting it directly.
Easy birdie.
Right off the D. I think he had a wedge in. That's one of my favorite memories. Since then, they've implemented in-course out of bounds on that hole. Yep. But, everyone in his group is like, what's this guy doing? It's a little bit
didn't
of a happy
he tee off? The tees were like all the way back on the tee box. So like, didn't he tee off in the rough?
Yeah, his ball was technically in the rough, and he was hitting it directly sideways through a pine tree that ended up making an easy birdie for him.
He went on to win.
And he went on to win the tournament, I believe, with a 77 on the second day. He needed to get a little something going.
Crazy Joey Smith story. If you know Joey, it's just a Joey story as is.
Shout out to Andy Carroll for the question.
Yeah, Andy Carroll, thanks for the question. We'll look to beat you this year in the club championships. Actually, Andy will be one of the favorites. So thanks to Andy Carroll. The last question that we have, and before I ask the question, first off, it's from Austin Kotke. And I just want to chirp Austin Kotke here. Former visitor of the pod. But I saw Austin out on Saturday night at about midnight. And rumor is he was at Cowboy Jack's from 10 a.m. to bar close. And I saw him, like I said, at about midnight. So shout out to him. I can understand why he was in this mood. But I get to the bar. First thing I see is him. And I'm thinking just a nice, warm, yo, what's up, Matt? No, he comes up and starts punching me in the chest and whatnot. Like, all hyped up, starts chirping me. And I just want to say, I hadn't even started drinking yet because I was kind of sick. And I just want to say, next time that he does that, I will put you in a body bag like I did junior year of high school hockey when we scrimmaged New Prague, and I just completely dummied him. So never do that again, Kotke.
Wow, Matty, nice call-off.
That's a
thank
call
you.
Up.
But anyways, jeez, really good question by you. And this goes along with that story. Kaki asked, who would you most want to party with on the PGA Tour? Mac?
Besides the obvious Dustin Johnson pick, which, you know, is probably the favorite, betting favorite.
You're in maybe. For a night.
Yeah. You're in for a night. I'm going to go with Ricky Fowler. I've talked about this a little bit before. A lot of guys think he might not party. I think he has more of the Tiger Woods approach where, you know, on the course, he's all media. Off the course, he shuts out the lights. He wants to do his own thing with his boys. I think he knows what's going on. Clearly, he's had a great time in the past. I think he'd be a great guy to party with.
Okay. I got Jordan Spieth. I've heard rumors about him in high school. I've also heard rumors via Colleen Cummings about how he behaves in Las Vegas. And I've just heard some crazy things about Spieth. I've seen his action at Baker's Bay. He seems like a fun guy. He's always got his shirt off. Probably loves the slug beer. I'm going to go with Spieth.
Okay. UT grad, University of Texas. I spent some time, obviously, down there for the past year. I could see how he would get after it. Several different streets to go on. So I wouldn't mind partying with Spieth. The guy I go with is not a household name. I mean, I shouldn't say he's not a household name. He's kind of a Tier 2 PGA Tour player, but several years ago, actually on this week at the Honda Classic, Daniel Berger. Is it Berger or Berger?
Berger.
Berger. Sorry. He was leading after 54 holes. And keep in mind that this tournament is down by Miami. And he decides that it's a good idea to go out for a couple drinks.
I love that.
Well, a couple drinks with Daniel is stay out till 4 a.m. And keep in mind, like I said, he was a 54-hole leader and ends up losing the tournament by more than probably a dozen shots. He went out and shot like 84 final round. So, you know, that's a guy who can whoop it up. And I could not agree more with his antics.
That's fantastic. Sounds like some of the DJ stories we've heard in the past in junior golf. Also, honorable mention, Eddie Pepperell. This guy obviously gets after it.
Yep.
He's very active on, you know, Twitter. Follow him. You know, last year before the final round of the Open Championship, he thought he was out of the tournament. Had 4, 5, 10 beers with the boys.
Price and whiskeys.
I believe he shot 67-ish.
Yep.
And backdoor top-10'd it. I don't know what he was thinking. But a lot of respect.
Said he played well because he was hungover. So you got to agree with that guy. I really appreciate that. So hopefully at one point in time, we'll be able to whip it up with them. And that'd be an awesome time. We could get some coverage for you boys and girls that are listeners. Next up, we have some headlines from this week. I think there were three of them that we really pinpointed. And Mac has those.
Yeah, Matt, outside of the WGC Mexico, we had Steve Stricker being named captain of the 2020 Ryder Cup over in Kohler, Wisconsin. The Who's Your Caddy podcast is looking to make a trip out there to go watch that. Obviously, you know, hometown native Steve Stricker, fan favorite. You guys, any takes on the?
I like it. I like it a lot. I mean,
class act.
If he wasn't named the captain, I mean, I think there would have been a riot in small town Kohler, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Like Max said, Wisconsin native. He's got to be a captain of that team. I wouldn't doubt that you see, you know, maybe even Tiger Woods be his assistant captain as well as playing because Stricker is...
Little player captain.
Little player assistant captain. Like Tiger is the captain of the President's Cup this year, and Stricker is helping him out, being one of his assistants. So I think it's a good play. It'll be interesting to see who makes that team and who Stricker goes with. All I have to say is Patrick Reed better be automatic in as a top eight. I don't think Stricker would pick him to disturb that team.
You know, Stricker said he already did talk to Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed said he wouldn't be an issue. I think that's all a PR stunt until we see what's
going on.
See
what actually happens.
Agreed.
And some minor headline news, the Live Under Par PGA Tour, I'm sure you're familiar with the slogan. Live Under Par guy either was fired or left. Personally, I'm a big fan of the logo. No one really knows what it means.
No one has no idea.
No one has any clue what it means. I hope he did put like a patent on it or something so that
it's fantastic. I've been using it. I don't even know what it means.
He could take it away from the PGA Tour because there's a lot of money involved with that.
So
we don't even know what it means.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, is it live under par or is it live under par?
We don't even know.
Kuchar doesn't know. It's live under par. It's a way of life.
Okay.
Also, Hazeltine, You know, obviously.
We're mini boys.
Mini boys.
Chaska native over here, too. Big fan of Hazel.
2024 USAM.
Yep. Sweet, sweet.
Going back.
Yep.
Before the rider goes back in 2026.
Mm-hmm. They better hope I don't turn pro by then. But.
And actually in 2020, it's going to have the U.S. Junior Am, so that'll be good. And I'm going to enjoy to go out there and watch those 14 to 16-year-old phenoms light up that course and try to recruit a couple of them to kind of, you know, sponsor them and see where they can really get out there. And
it is possible that one of those junior champs in 2020 could win the 2024.
Very.
For sure. Am. Because they would be right around the junior to senior age in college. So actually, that's a really good point. I never even thought about it that way, which that'd be cool to see.
Well, some good takes there, some good insights by Mac. I appreciate you keeping notes and tabs on that. But with that, we're going to get into a course review of Fire Rock Country Club. It is in Fountain Hills, Arizona. I don't want to get into the weeds a little bit, but the next recordings for the next 5 minutes or so, we're live after the round at Fire Rock. Little background on Fire Rock, very private course. Got lucky to get out there. Fantastic track, about 7,000 yards, again in Fountain Hills. Fantastic course. Enjoy. Hello, gentlemen. We got another couple friends of the pod here. We got Bill Schumer, Steve Cummings, Greg Sadronsky. We're doing another course review of Fire Rock Golf Club, which, again, is in Fountain Hills, Arizona. Greg, how you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Great to be down here with all the sons and all the fathers. We're having a great time.
So we got Greg here. Then we got Bill Schumer. Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing great. We kicked ass today.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Yes, you did. Stevie, Steve Cummings. How you doing?
Might have been a 12 out of 10 day. It was fabulous.
All right. Well, we don't want to know how you guys are feeling. We want to know about the course. That's what everyone's listening in on. We got Fire Rock Golf Club, Fountain Hills, Arizona. Greg, we started talking about the greens earlier. I know you didn't putt well today. Let's hear a little bit on what you think about the greens out there. What was it like?
Yeah, I think the greens, you're going to love it if you are a high-end golfer that wants a challenge. The greens were slick.
They were elevated, weren't they?
They were elevated. That's part of it. The bigger issue was if you're going down grain, they're really fast, so you tend to run it by. And if you're going up grain, they were a little sticky.
I think
putting was a challenge out
okay.
there.
Okay. And Bill Schumer, give you a little bit of background on Bill. He's a Wayzata Country Club native. He is a very good golfer under pressure. But from my understanding, Bill played the best out of everyone today. Bill,
I think so.
Give us a little bit of a rundown on how you dominated that course today.
Well, thanks, Jax, for asking that question. I appreciate that. And what a wonderful podcast. I would listen to this every day.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah, I'm a friend of the pod. As a high handicapper, the course was fantastic. It had decent size fairways, as long as you can keep
it. So they were wide.
They were wide. As far as I was concerned, they were wide. Couple holes, you know what, but they were beautiful. It was a beautiful course, great condition, highly recommended.
Okay. And how did you, as a 20 handicapper, how did you get out there and dominate that course? I mean, you drubbed your opponent. How did you get out there and take advantage of the course, not only and or your opponents? How did it happen?
Well, Jack, thanks for asking that. That's a great question. I don't look at my score or the way I play. I'm about psychological warfare. Okay. I got into my opponent's head, and about chirping. It's about, you know, not mean. You got to be positive, but you play one player against the other, and it worked out well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Stevie Cummings. Give you a little bit background on Steve. He's a Chaska Town Course native. He flirted around with Winsong in the past couple years. But, Steve, you played well out there, but you didn't putt well. And that's been a very hot topic on our discussion tonight. No one's been doing well on the putting out at Fire Rock. Greg touched a little bit on the grain out there, but you just didn't putt well. But what did you shoot? You shot 82 and
81.
Sorry.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And touch a little bit about it. What happened out there?
To give you an indication of how bad I putted today, I shot an 81 and I think I three putted 7 or 8 holes today.
Okay.
So it wasn't pretty.
Yep.
But I will say this. It was,
give us a little course overview.
I don't blame the course. I think I just sucked on the greens today. I just did. And I'd like to blame it on Fire Rock, but you know what? It was me. It was all me. And my partner had the same disease. We got the virus on the green, and we just couldn't putt.
Yeah, no one could putt out there, but it was a good time. One thing that everyone was touching on was the views. Everyone was going on the scenic views out there. We had gorgeous houses, and every single shot you had out there, you're elevated, you're hitting down 20, 30 yards. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any take on that?
Well, that was the interesting part of the whole day, because it was just a normal golf deal, but my friend Greg Stransky put down $100,000 and bought a house today.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yes. Yes, he did.
Attaboy.
He goes, Tonto just doesn't measure up anymore after you've seen these
After you play a course
No,
like
no. So I love having rich friends, so this is great.
I would just like to thank Jack and the fellas for doing that course review. Sounded like a great time they had down in Arizona. They avoided some snow that they probably get once every decade. So good interview from them. Like I said, sounded like a great time. I wish I was there. This week on tour, we go to the Honda Classic. It's down in Miami, Florida, or in that region, at PGA National. It's one of the hardest courses on tour. Honda Classic, past winners include JT, Ricky Fowler, Adam Scott, Patty Harrington, a gamer, as we call him. Russell Henley is a really good ball striker, so look for a guy like that to win this week. It should be a fun tournament. Like I said, one of the hardest golf courses on tour. They have the Bear Trap, 15, 16, 17. Just a hard stretch of golf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Matt, since 2007, 75% of the players that have played in this tournament have hit a ball in the water on the Bear Trap. Notables not in the field, Tiger Woods, it's in his backyard, not playing.
Yeah, that's weird.
I think that has a lot to do with the schedule and the revamp of it. This event is in between a WGC event, which Tiger likes to play all those, except for the one over in China, just because he doesn't like traveling that far. But the tournament next week after this one will be the Arnold Palmer, where Tiger's won, I believe, seven or eight times. So, yeah. it wasn't a shock. Tiger really doesn't play three straight weeks. Yeah. So I can see why Tiger's not in the field. I can see why a lot of other guys aren't in the field. Tiger wants to win majors. He doesn't really care about a Honda Classic.
And he wants to play in Arnie's tournament
right,
as well.
Right, exactly. So, there, like we said, there's other good names. JT and Ricky are both in the field. Nice. Brooks Koepka's in the field. So, it'll still be a fun week. I'm looking forward to listening to it. Maybe a guy who's, long odds will win, just because of the fact that there aren't many favorites this week, so.
Yeah, I don't know about taking people outright this week. I was looking at it, and it's one of those, I'm not going to put any money on outrights. I'm going to take my matchups. I'm going
to
run.
Hey. Okay. With that, let's turn this over to Caddyshack before we get into this.
So welcome back to the Caddyshack. We're back after a decent week last week. We got three of the four matchups correct. The only one we didn't pick was JT and DJ. We picked the wrong guy there. Tough. Considering that DJ ended up winning the tournament.
And JT played well.
And JT did play pretty well, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but like I said, decent week on the matchup side. We're still looking for, a big win on the overall tournament winner. Of course, those aren't going to happen all that often. That's just the way it is. So we always hope that our matchups cover that loss, and then we do hit with a home run with a tournament winner. So, with that being said,
Matt, absolutely. Big picks last week. Obviously, Tiger over Koepka, Sergio over Charles Howell, and Rory over Koepka. Obviously, all those guys played great. With that said, looking at this week, Jack, I hate to cut you off. I know you don't like any of the outright winners. I don't know if I've ever seen a favorite at 5-1 at JT to win a golf tournament.
I hate that.
That's a terrible value.
I hate that.
That doesn't mean you can't win, but just a tough value.
It's
Jack,
tough value, yeah.
Do you like anyone outright?
No, and like I said, I don't like anyone outright, but I'm going to get a little degenerate. Of course, I'm taking someone outright. Guy I'm going to take outright, and let me stipulate this before I get into it. I hate this guy's game. I actually hate his demeanor as well, but I'm taking Webb Simpson outright at plus 2,800. I like him this week. He played good. I think he even sprinkled a top five last year, maybe. I know he played bad on Sunday coming in, but I like Webb outright, and then I'm also going to sprinkle a little bit of money on take the field against all of the favorites outright. I like that. I think it could be a dogger coming in that wins this that doesn't really, you know, he's not one of those guys, a keynote player.
Yeah, no, I like that for sure. I'll go with my picks for the tournament. Like Jack said, we're degenerate, so I don't love my picks either, but I am going to go with a couple. Ricky Fowler, I'm going to go with the trend that not the defending champ won, but the guy who won two or the previous year before that one, like DJ, won the WGC in 2017. Ricky won the Honda Classic in 2017. So Ricky's at 10-1 odds. I'm going to throw some money on him. Another guy I talked about a little bit before, maybe he learned a little bit, Daniel Berger. 33-1 odds.
How's he been playing?
You know, I don't know, but he played well there a couple years ago, and right. He's a good ball striker. It's yeah. A ball striker's golf course. So
guy you want to party with.
Apparently. Guy you want to party with. Yeah. So yeah. I think maybe he learned his lesson, or hopefully he did. So I'm going to throw some money on him at a guy who's been successful here before at 33-1. Another guy I do like and whose game is coming to form is Russell Knox. 55-1 odds, another ball striker, another gamer. I mean, that's a gamer to me other than the fact that he does wear Skechers shoes.
What is the odds?
55-1.
Sheesh. So
throw $10 when wow. $550 maybe your wow. next golf trip.
Wow.
I like him. And then last but not least, my long shot of the week, and I'll throw a little money on him, a guy who's hot from, you know, he's a great amateur player. He is pretty hot right now. I can't remember where he had a good week, but it was a couple weeks ago. Curtis Luck. I just love the name, too. Bring a little luck to my side.
200, Stanford guy, right?
No. New Zealand guy. Yeah. No, did not play college golf. Turned pro when he was, I think, 17 or 18. 200-1 odds. So, former number one ranked amateur in the world.
That'd be Andrew Luck for your listeners that I was thinking of Stanford.
Yeah, exactly. common mix-up.
Common mistake.
Yes, I think he gets that all the time. They actually do kind of look alike. They don't sound alike, though. So Curtis Luck, 200-1 odds. Throw some money on him.
Yeah, Matt, when I look at this tournament, for those of you who really like one of the favorites, the way I'm leaning this week is I say you let a couple rounds play out and then maybe throw a few live bets in there.
I love that. That's
after round two, round three. It's very difficult to take some of these guys at 5-1, 10-1 early on, knowing that, I mean, this is a full field event.
Well, and if like JT is, say, 3 or 4 shots back, he'll be on, say, going into Saturday, he'll probably be 10-1 odds at that point.
And so that's why I recommend, you know, those people that like the favorites this week to do something more like that. You have to keep in mind as they come down the stretch, it's going to be about who has their swing, who has the stones to hit some of these shots. There always is a little bit of wind swirling on the par threes. Like I said earlier, a lot of balls in the water. That can be a double bogey or a birdie depending on one swing as they come down the stretch.
You got to have the balls. You got to just buck up and hit some of those shots because they're challenging.
So my picks for the week, Brooks Koepka, kind of a favorite. I'm staying away from him. I don't mind it given the fact that you're going to have to hit some golf shots this tournament. My two picks for this week are Luke List. Great value at 40-1. Lost in a playoff last year to JT. Played great. He hits it a mile. I think he'll play well this
Fantastic
week.
Fantastic swing.
Yep.
One of the biggest value picks on the board is Jason Duffner. I know he hasn't shown a lot of great form recently. I saw him tweeting earlier this week that he's excited to play. This is one of the events that he grew up around and why he got into the game of golf in the first place. Shows up every year, plays well. 200-1.
Yep. Same with Curtis Luck. So, former major champion, PGA Championship winner. So
he's got it in the memory bank.
I agree with that pick. I'll probably throw a little money on him, too. Yeah. Why not?
I'm staying out of those outright, boys. Can I hop into the matchups? Is that okay with you guys?
Yep.
And I'm gonna hop into my matchups just because I think they're mortal locks. You guys got to get all over these. My matchups have been hot lately. Hot. Number one, I'm going back to him. Adam Scott over Gary Woodland. You got this at plus. I already cashed it in, and I got it at plus 120. Adam Scott over Gary Woodland. Mortal lock. I don't think this is a tournament where you can hit those stinger two irons off the tee all day long like Gary Woodland likes to do. I think you got to be accurate with the driver. And it's got to be flush.
Former winner. He like won in Adam 2016. Scott.
Exactly. And I think he's got that kind of game. And while I'm at Gary Woodland being in the dogger, I'm going to hop in on this one. Sergio Garcia over Adam Scott. Sergio, trending right now. He had his bug out. He's out of the limelight. He's coming in hot. And I don't think Gary Woodland's going to play well this week. Cash that in, fellas. It's a mortal lock. Last one. This one's dicey. You got this one at right at 100. You got it at a pick 'em. But it's dicey. I got Ricky Fowler over Brooks Koepka. Solely because Ricky is playing well right now. He's trending. He played well, obviously, at the Waste Management. Brooks, I haven't seen a whole lot out of him. Those are my mortal lock matchups. Again, staying out of the money line outrights, but I'm taking these matchups. You guys should as well. Your bookie's going to hate it. Cash them in.
All right, Mac, I got a couple matchups. I got JT versus Ricky. I'm going to take Ricky as well this week. You took Brooks Cummings?
No, I took Ricky.
Okay, you took Ricky. So I'm also going to take Ricky in that matchup.
Over JT?
Over JT.
And do you know what the odds are by chance?
Plus 140.
Plus one.
For Ricky.
I love it.
See, I think, boys, I don't know if I agree with that. I think JT, he came off Riv with, you know, a little upset. He obviously had a little bit of a hangover coming in to the weekend at WGC, but he hasn't lost his form. I think his fundamentals are flawless right now. That's why you saw him shoot another course record on Sunday. He just needed to flip the mental switch. He's going to be fresh coming into this week. I like him.
Okay. I just like Ricky's odds, plus 140. So I do like that. Another matchup, Adam Scott, like Cummings said, Adam Scott versus Woodland. I like Adam Scott as
Hammer
well.
Hammer Adam Scott.
Adam Hammer. Hold on.
How is Adam Scott?
Is that our mortal lock of the
week?
That's
a mortal lock of the
week. Adam, we're taking.
I don't know.
Bet it. Adam Scott over Gary Woodland, mortal lock.
And how is Woodland the favorite?
Well, pay back your bets.
I
don't know about that, but mortal lock. That's our mortals. That's our mortal lock.
And then last but not least, Webb Simpson versus Cameron Smith. Cameron Smith, plus 110. Not many of you know him, but, I mean, Cameron Smith is number one in the President's Cup race for the International. So,
wow, what a race. Ooh, what a reminds race. Me a lot of the FedEx Cup race, which we follow very closely.
Mm-hmm.
Very indicative of who's playing the best.
Holy shit, they pulled their goalie. I love Cameron Smith, though. I mean, this guy's a gamer, like we talked about. Cameron Smith, plus 110. Throw $100 on him. You'll make $100, $110 back. So I love Cameron Smith. Thoughts on that one or no thoughts on that?
Yeah, I like it. He showed good form at the WGC. I don't know a lot about his game, to be honest. I think he's kind of an up-and-comer to the stage. So, you know, at a course like PGA National, this is going to test the best of the best to hit flawless golf shot after flawless golf shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
See, I took Webb outright. Yeah. I think Webb's going to play okay this week.
A lot of controversy in the Caddyshack this week, except for the mortal lock.
Mortal lock. Lock it in. I hate Adam Scott, but I love Adam Scott this week.
I love Adam over Gary Woodland.
That being said, this weekend we're going to be following along after rounds 1 and 2 as we see the odds start to reshuffle as we head into the weekend. We see things shaping out. You might be able to get one of these favorites for about the similar payout now as they will be in a couple rounds.
Yes, actually keep an eye on our Instagram page for that. We'll probably post who we're going to go with on the weekend. As well as, I do want to mention this. Tonight we recorded on a Tuesday night. We've been doing it Sunday nights. Tuesday night, we get the matchups. We get to see better odds and whatnot. So we'll probably stick with that so we won't get you the full tournament recap until around Wednesday. So we hope you guys are cool with that. But we love betting, and we figure we might as well do it.
And heading into this weekend, I don't know if you guys disagree, but I'd like to see my phone blow up. So keep in touch with us.
Yep.
If you guys want our takes, send them on in.
Shoot us a DM. We'll be quick to respond.
Appreciate the support thus far.
Yep.
Keep on sending them in. Thanks for the questions this week.
We'll probably do another segment of listener questions next week. You kind of got a grasp of what kind of questions we like to answer.
Sorry we couldn't get to all of them this week.
Yeah,
we're keeping some in the bank for next week, and we're excited to see what happens this weekend at the PGA National.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, it was fun. And hopefully the snow melts here in Minnesota so we can get you guys some more content.
Who's your caddy?
Who's your caddy?
Who's your caddy?
Well, I hit balls for maybe 20 minutes, put a little bit, smoke 4 or 5 cigarettes, drink 3 Diet Cokes, and go to the first tee. Some days I won't even go to the range. Said she turned little money, need a big boy. Pull up 20 inch blades like I'm Lil Troy. Now it's everybody flocking, need a decoy. Shorty mixing up the vodka with the liquor. G-Wagon, 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 G-Wagon. All the housewives pulling up. I got a lot of toys. 720S pumping Fall Out Boy. You was talking shit in the beginning. Back when I was feeling unforgiving. I know I pissed you off to see me winning. See the hit glue in my mouth and I be grinning. Bands in my pocket, it's on me. Honey deep when I roll like the army. Get more bottles, these bottles are lonely. It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying why. Honey bands in my pocket, it's on me. You and your grandma probably know me. Get more bottles, these bottles are lonely. It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying why. Everywhere I go, catch me on the block like a Mutombo. 750 Lambo in the Utah snow. Trunk in the front like a shit Dumbo, yeah. Cut the roof off like a Nip Tuck. Pull up to the house with some big butts. Turn the kitchen counter to a strip club. Me and Dre came for the When I got quiet, all of y'all disappear. Before I drive Sony, none of y'all really care. Now they always say congratulations to the kid. And this is not a 40, but I'm pouring out this shit. You serve a lot, but I got more now. Made another hit, cause I got butt now. Always going for it, never pump fourth down. Last call.